You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. My name is Mike. She's Allie. He's Bo. Dylan behind the glass playing the good tunes. Right? Sounds like Michael Jackson. I don't even know what's going on right now. We are going to go out to the phone lines because we have so many things to talk about when it comes to football. And that's why we're going to bring in, there's a whole list of like things that you could call him and titles he could have. I'm just going to call him knower of all things ball. And that is Emory Hunt. He does work for CBS Sports. You can find him on X at F-Ball Game Plan. Emory, appreciate you hanging out with us early this morning, man. There's such a good – well, first of all, we already got it cranked off last night, but there's such a good weekend of football, both college and NFL, coming up. I want to start with you with a question I posed to my co-host just over an hour ago. Carson Beck, his NFL prospects, what he is as a quarterback. There's so much fluctuation in the last 2-3 years over what he can – and will be in the NFL. And I pose the question, if Michael Penix couldn't start the season, do you think Carson Beck could be a real option in week one, considering, for the Atlanta Falcons, considering you don't have a first-round draft pick? So what, after last night, do you make of Carson Beck in the NFL, and what do you think he will look like come draft time?
You know, I think when you look at Carson Beck, you look at someone that obviously has played a lot of football in college. I believe it's his seventh season. So, yeah, he's more acclimated to step in right away and help a football team. I compare his style of play, and I could see his trajectory in his career more along the lines of a Matt Schaub. So something like that definitely can help you win football games, but you want to see him be a little bit more consistent throwing the football down. So I thought that was exposed even more so last night. He missed a couple of opportunities to hit the ball deep down the field. But at the end of the day, a guy that has played a lot, started a lot, has a high floor, and I can see that being his trajectory as a pro.
Well, and sticking with quarterbacks for a second, we know Trinidad Chambliss is trying to go back to Ole Miss for next season. Who do you think will be the best returning quarterback next season in college football? Would it be Trinidad?
Well, that's a great question because, you know, last season going into this upcoming season or this past season or the season we're currently in, there were like 17 names that everybody threw out there as this is the year for the quarterback. So, now they push that off to next year. I think the quarterback people are sleeping on a lot is C.J. Bailey out of NC State. I think that's someone who's 6'7", about 215 pounds. He's a little thin, but he gained some weight this past year. So he's trending in the right direction in terms of his weight. But I like the way he throws the football. He has that get back that you like. So does Chambliss and many others. I think this upcoming draft class, 2027, you expect guys to take that next step. You like how Arch Manning finished the rest of the season. You like how C.J. Bailey played all season long. You like what you're seeing currently in Trinidad Chambliss. Hopefully he can get that additional year. And if everyone else around the discussion of 2026 that came back to school grows and gets better, like a Lenora Sellers, those types, and Darius Mensah, who flirted with coming out but decided to go back to Duke, then you have something that you're working with. I feel like we'll see 2027's outlook be a lot better than what we saw this current season.
Emory Hunt joining us here on the morning shift. Emory, we've obviously seen these two teams play before, but much like last night, I didn't know if Ole Miss could match the physicality up front on both sides of the ball that Miami had. Can Oregon match the physicality that Indiana has on both sides of the ball?
I believe they can. The problem with trying to face Indiana or playing Indiana is that you could do everything well, but if you're not disciplined and assignment sound and fundamentally sound, they'll beat you. They wait for you to make the mistake. Because one could surmise that Ohio State had the advantage in the trenches. One could surmise that the first matchup, Oregon had the advantage in the trenches. And we've seen both of those things to be not true, the way Indiana protected, you know, Fernando Mendoza, Alabama, you could have said had the advantage in the trenches. But Indiana just also can match up well up front on both sides of the ball, but they are also very disciplined. and you could beat teams with discipline and execution. They are a high school football coach's dream, but how they play football, because it shows you the words that coaches scream in practice ring true with how Indiana plays up there on the field.
There's no doubt about it. And, you know, Emory, I think there's a lot of drama left to be had in the college football playoff. Obviously, we're in Atlanta. Good opportunity to welcome in Indiana and Oregon fans to the Peach Bowl if they're in town listening right now. I do want to get your thoughts on Dante Moore. There's been a lot of back and forth, you know, over the last couple of weeks of what he is, what he will be, where he'll go in the draft. You know, there's a lot of quarterback needy teams in the NFL coming up for this next season. So what do you make of his prospects? I know I just asked you about Carson Beck, but Dante Moore is a guy that you could see go at the top of the first round.
I do like that he has some perspective, right? And it's rare to find in college football these days. This kid says, hey, man, I'm 20 years old. So he's already letting you know that he's, you know, this is a tough decision for him to come out because he feels as though he's not ready to go from a maturity standpoint, watching how the NFL just chews you up and spits you out. But, and that's a big but, capitalized and underlined four or five times, if you're going to be the top two pick, bro, you got to go. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, I know Nike money is long, but top two money in the NFL draft is just as long, and it puts you quicker on a quicker path to get to your second contract, which is where you make the real money. But I like that he's kind of aware where he is as a prospect, his age, the maturity level. Is he ready to make that jump? And I like that, you know, here's someone that went to UCLA, started as a freshman, was up and down, transferred, sat out the year, learned the system, and stepped in and became a superstar. But I feel like he's really thinking about it, going down to the wire, and we'll see how it goes at the end. But, man, if they're saying you're going to go top two, bro, you got to give Oregon the peace sign and get up out of there.
Agreed.
Emory, DJ Lagway has transferred, and it sounds like he's committed now to Baylor. What? It doesn't feel like, and I've watched a lot of DJ Lagway, that he's really progressed in his 2 years in college. What do you see from Lagway in his game and where he's at now going into his junior year?
Add him to that list of 2027, right? But I like the fact that this is someone that came out hot, you know, just had everybody talking about. I mean, I had a take out there last championship game in studio where it's like, give us a wild card team that can make the postseason and take it out, like Florida, because they have DJ Lagway. They got all these good players coming back, blah, blah, blah. And then he didn't have the season. He reminds me a lot, to be honest, and this is not a knock because I liked him at NC State, but he reminds me a lot of Jacoby Brissett and how he plays. You know, a guy that's a gamer, extremely streaky, and I think that therein lies where he has to improve and flatline his play. You have to know what you're going to get from him down in, down out, game in, game out. And on top of that, he has to stay healthy. His health has been his biggest issue because you can't build consistency if you're never out there. Remember, he missed the entire spring with an injury, and that explains why he started the season the way he did. So he has to, number one, stay healthy, find that consistency, and then we'll see the DJ Lagway we saw as a freshman.
Emory, I called you a knower of all things ball a minute ago, so if you're cool with it, I'd like to pivot to the NFL for just a second. Obviously, we've been talking a lot about the Atlanta Falcons head coaching opening that came open this week with Raheem Morris being fired. There's kind of two schools of thought, I think, around this opening and possibly around the rest of the, you know, head coaching openings in the NFL. Do you want to hire a young, offensive-minded coach that, you know, can really put together the offensive game plan the way they want, and then you bring in a good defensive coordinator? Or do you steer towards the John Harbaughs of the world that are leaders of men and that can, you know, keep you on the right trajectory, but don't necessarily have a huge hand in what you're doing on either side of the football?
I'm glad you asked that question, because that's been my line of thinking since Ben. Like, I hate that we've gotten in this era of got to get an offensive-minded head coach who wants to call plays. Not everybody is Sean McVay. Not everybody is Kyle Shanahan. Give me a head coach that can coach the football team and delegate responsibilities. Those coaches tend to have the more sustained success. You look at your Mike McCarthy, you brought up a John Harbaugh. You look at even, I know people make him a running joke, but he was a very good coach for a long time, Jason Garrett. Those guys that can delegate responsibilities to their coordinators, empower those guys to coach their side of the ball, that's how you have sustained success. So therefore, the coach, the head coach, can lock in on the situational football moments, because that's the head coach's job. okay, let me keep an eye on the game situation, critical situation. Do I challenge here? Do I call timeout? Let me manage the game. You guys coordinate the offense and defense. Yeah, I'll have my input here or there, but I need you guys to do your job because that's why I hired you. I think it's become in vogue to say offensive-minded head coach, defensive-minded head coach. Man, give me a guy that can coach the team and that could also identify talent and that can hire great, talented coach that he empowers to do their job.
It's we've been throwing this thing back and forth, and I don't want to just get hung up on this one thing. But then I look, and you name Sean McVay, you name Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid, Belichick to an extent when he was early in New England when they first were winning before Patricia got there. It feels like the best of the best, though, Emory, are those guys that run that because they never lose their identity of the team. It's always that one thing, and they don't have to worry about replacing multiple coordinators, you know, every few years.
Well, every coach is going to have their expertise on one side of the ball, correct? So let's say you're Pittsburgh and you lose a defensive coordinator. You know, if we lose a coach, Tomlin at any point in time can step in and coordinate a defense. So you're going to always have your lean, but in terms of being able to go out there and do it, you have to make sure you stay locked in. I think that's where some coaches lose sight of the game or lose games because they lose sight of the game situations. We've seen that play out time and time again. Cliff Kingsbury, a great offensive coordinator, but as a head coach, he was so razor-sharp focused on the offense that you saw him lose track of what was going on defensively, game situations. How can I call offense to help out my defense? Those things some coaches can't handle because they're so they have such tunnel vision on their side of the ball. But every coach has their lean on what side they can do. Sean McDermott, another one, you know, even though he's a head coach, but he can lean defensively if need be. So I just feel like coaches that are able to coach the entire 53 are the ones that end up having the most success.
Emory, we got about 30 seconds, but I want to see if you can settle a disagreement that Mike and I had earlier. Uh-oh. The last play of the game in the Ole Miss-Miami game, if you call that the entire game, should it not have at least been defensive holding there at the end of the game? I mean, should you have to call the game the same way for 60 minutes, or are you okay with
objection leading the witness?
Let him play the last 30 seconds.
Listen, if you're jostling for position, you let that ride. But if you got your entire forearm inside the shoulder pad of the wide receiver, you gotta call that, man. Like, nah. But if you're just jockeying for position, I get it. But man, this dude had like his entire inner hand.
Come on, Emory, no.
You gotta call that.
That's right. Oh, thank you, Emory. I appreciate it.
Take back what I was saying about no revolve ball. Come on, man.
You enjoy the hula ball.
Was just, listen, for about 5 yards running down the field, he had his jersey on. I'm like, bro, the dude is wearing an Ole Miss jersey. Like, call it.
I ain't trying to see that flag at the end of the game, man. Let those players decide it. But either way, I do appreciate the input, Emory. You are the knower of all things. I know you got a lot of travel going on, man. So safe travels out there. We'll be watching you on the HQ. I appreciate you hanging out with us.
Appreciate you guys having me.
Thanks, man.
Well, thanks so much to Emory Hunt for joining us this morning. Our conversation with Emory was brought to you by Orchard, the smarter, faster, hassle-free way to buy and sell your home. You can find Emory on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. And Sports Radio 92.9 The Game has all the action of Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. Make sure you join us tomorrow starting at 4 o'clock, Sunday starting at 12:30, and Monday night at 7:30 for live play-by-play of every playoff game. It's brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com. That's NFL playoff action all weekend long on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Atlanta's home of the NFL on Westwood One. Coming up, yesterday was a big day. Mike and Bo removed their hats, and they went to a press conference with Arthur Blank. Got the intel on what we can expect from the future of the organization. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes, and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yep. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Peach Bowl attendee. Dylan is behind the glass. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Yesterday, we finally got to hear from Arthur Blank on the future of the Falcons. I think he shared the same sentiment that a lot of us did this season, that this team was too good not to make the playoffs.
I felt that given the quality of the young players we have on offense and on defense and some seasoned veterans that are excellent as well, that we needed to move forward both in terms of a change as a head coach and a general manager.
I couldn't agree more with what you just said. I think that every sentiment he let out there, and I can't remember his exact words, Bo, but yesterday he was talking about the fans. He talked about and to the fans multiple times in his press conference yesterday, and you know, one of the answers he gave before he got up and left, I mean, he literally stopped everybody from standing up and was like, hold on, one more thing. I want to, you know, talk to the fans and talk about what's going on. And he essentially was like, you know, I'm more of a fan than an owner, is what I felt like he was trying to say. He was mm-hmm. like, I'm here to give this team everything that they need to be successful, but in the end, I'm a fan, and I'm just as frustrated as everybody else is. And I think that's, you know, there's a lot of conversation around Arthur Blank in this town, and probably for good reason. There's frustrated fans, and I know people look at it from that perspective, but guys, you look around the league and look at the rest of the owners, they're not all like that. All right, not all of them give a crap. Not all of them, you know, are going to give the team the necessary tools to be able to kind of pull off what's, you know, what you think of in terms of an NFL team. So, I don't know. I like the message coming from him. If you didn't like Arthur Blank going into yesterday, I'm sure you tried to pull something out of it that you didn't like about it, but it just kind of is what it is. And I'm after listening to his reasoning about everything that's happened over the last couple months, I'm happy that they are actually hitting the reset button and doing this restructuring.
Multiple things can be true. I wholeheartedly believe Arthur Blank has had huge missteps as an owner at times.
Agreed.
But I also don't – but when it comes to what's on the football field and stuff like that, I don't believe it was ever made it was all done for the sake of winning or of the team or of the fan. I thought it was interesting because I think it was – I know we're going to have him on. I think it was Josh Kendall's question, but I don't – no, it wasn't. It was somebody else's. Somebody asked – it wasn't Josh, but somebody asked about the empty seats and no shows. And he goes, well, the no shows, that's not the problem, but it's an indication of the problem. And I actually thought it was really well worded and probably why I've never, you know – well, I'm not worth $1 billion plus, because I wouldn't have thought to answer that way. I'd be like, yeah, man, stupid fans. You know what? You ride or die. Always show up. That's what I would have probably said. And he was like, no, it's an indication of the problem.
It's definitely how you feel as a player. It's definitely how you feel as a player.
It's how I feel as a fan.
Yeah.
It's how I'm a fan first and foremost. Like, I view things as I would if I'm – I remember what it was like to – have to pay or not have the financial resources, you know, always to pay and be given tickets when, you know, my dad was, we couldn't have season tickets as I was a kid. So we would get, you know, get to go a game or two a year that my dad was lucky enough to take us to.
Yeah.
And so there was no such thing as a game I would never go to. Right. So I can't fathom giving up, not just saying I'm not going to go because we suck. I mean, no, I want to go to every game. So I get frustrated with it, but I just thought it was a really good answer. I don't know how you listen to that press conference yesterday and really have more questions. I thought it was pretty cut and dry.
Well, did you have was anything not leaned into though that you were curious about? Maybe like the timeline of how everything is going to play out as far as the organization, when these hires are going to be made.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He said we're going to get a president first. And then go get the GM and coach. The way it all plays out, the timeline works easiest for you to have the president anyways. Because you can't interview every candidate you want for the GM or the coach until the playoffs align the way it is, right? Like, you know, some guys you have to interview at, like, you can interview Clint Kubiak this weekend. But, and Vance Joseph, and even Davis Webb, who the Ravens interviewed Davis Webb.
What? I didn't see that.
I saw it. They interviewed Davis Webb.
That's
crazy. Who played. So he's only been an assistant for 6 years. He's under Sean Payton in Denver. And now it's a name that popped in my head. I'm like, well, maybe we should interview Davis Webb.
Right.
But
the next Kellen Moore.
But yeah, but you couldn't interview, name an OC or a DC that's on a team that you're Jeff Hafley. Who's the DC for the Packers.
Couldn't
interview him this weekend. You have to wait. And I've seen people say, well, I thought that we would at least have the president and the GM announced. But you can't even interview Ian Cunningham this weekend.
Right. And there's a lot of back and forth that. And really, I said this yesterday, I want them to take their time with all this stuff and make sure it is right and make sure that, like I said yesterday, if a coordinator that you want goes to the Super Bowl, then we're going to wait. I do think the only thing that has kind of concerned me, and this popped up with the Mike McDaniel thing, is that you could lose out on coaches essentially that, like, let's just say Todd Bowles, is hiring coaches or whatever, Dan Campbell's hiring coaches. The staffs that are already in place that are already going about that process, I think that's the only concerning part. But, otherwise, let's kind of move forward and make sure we're careful with each step.
Another big question for fans right now is about the quarterback situation. And that was addressed yesterday. Arthur did make it a point to talk about the status of Michael Penix Jr. and how he feels about him.
I do think Michael is a franchise quarterback. The injury he sustained was on his other knee. The surgeon felt 1,000% secure in the medical procedure they went through, and they really felt his knee was going to be even better than it was before. He's on a successful rehab program. He's back in Atlanta. He's committed mentally, physically. He feels good. So, yes, I would certainly see that.
And you said he was asked about Michael Penix, and is he think he's the future franchise quarterback? I saw people upset about that, saying, you can't dictate who the quarterback is. Like, I just think he's saying he believes in Michael Penix, which is exactly what I want my owner to say about a quarterback going in his third year. He's the 8th overall pick. It's amazing that Michael Penix has played 12 games, and there seems to be a portion of the media and the fan base that's willing to give up on him. Kyle Pitts played almost 5 full years, other than about 8 games in the 2022 season, and was inconsistent as hell, and people want to bring him back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but by what he said, Mike, you correct me if I'm wrong, or what you think, because I'm not going to tell you I'm wrong. I believe what I believe, but I don't feel in that statement where he said it's mandated that Michael Penix is a starter. Is a franchise quarterback for the next 5 years of this team. I just think he said he believes in him still.
I heard something different, but it's probably different than what you're saying. Some other folks are talking about. I pretty much, and this was my biggest takeaway, I heard that, like, I don't think we have another option. Like, that was my biggest takeaway. Like, and I think you said it in more or less words. Like, what do you want him to say? What do you expect him to say? There really isn't another option. We're still going to be paying Kirk Cousins some money for the next couple of years. Michael Penix, we don't have a first-round draft pick. Like, what do you think we're going to snap our fingers and suddenly land some kind of big free agent? Who is that? There's not anybody else that we're going to point to right now. I did the math earlier. There is 9 teams of the 32 that have question marks at quarterback going into next season, if you include us in that conversation. The conversation around Tua, what is Tua from Miami right now with Mike McDaniel out of the picture? What is Kyler Murray out in Arizona with Jonathan Gannon being fired? There's a bunch of teams in a similar situation of saying, what do we have at the quarterback position? So if you think, let's go sign Malik Willis, I got news for you. We can't afford him. We won't be able to afford him. Everybody else is thinking the same exact thing you are in this situation, including all the other teams that want head coaches.
Yeah.
So my takeaway was, when he said that about Michael Penix, I believe he's a franchise quarterback, we don't really have a lot of options when it comes to the 2026 season, and that's what we need to believe right now.
Yeah, I thought that press conference could go a lot like it did when you fired Arthur.
Agreed.
Or it could go like it did yesterday. I loved the message. One message, the owner. Okay? The owner's message, that this is our structure. This is what we're doing. Not to knock anybody else that's a part of it. Right? But it's just that that was what was needed. And look, he didn't do Arthur at times in the past has done stuff like the Falcon for Life thing, where you kind of put this onus that this is going to happen. He didn't do that. And I thought it was a real, I want to ask Josh what he thought.
I agree.
Josh Kendall.
Yeah, same.
Also yesterday, 92.9's Mike Conti got an exclusive interview with Arthur Blank. It is readily available for you to check out. It's up on the 92.9 Twitter, the Morning Shift Twitter. Mike, I think you retweeted it. I retweeted it. It's all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so if you want to check that out, go find it on Twitter. And coming up, we do have Atlanta Falcons beat writer for The Athletic, Josh Kendall, will be joining us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and The Odyssey.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron.
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in. It's the Morning Shift. Got one more segment left here. My name's Mike. She's Allie. Bo Morgan sitting across from me and Dylan behind the glass, and he just got off the phone or on the phone with Josh Kendall. He writes for The Athletic. Josh was sitting one row in front of me and Bo yesterday, hey. So he did get to see the hatless version of me and Squid Billy.
He wasn't like directly in front of me, but he was a row in front and one seat to the left, I think.
Yeah,
I handed him a microphone at one point so he could ask a question.
Josh did a nice job asking some clarifying questions during the press conference yesterday. And Josh, I think that's where I want to start. Just the overall press conference. One of the things we've kicked around today is what it could have sounded like, what it did sound like, what it should have sounded like. Just randomly, give me a letter grade for how you think it went from a PR standpoint yesterday for Arthur talking to everybody.
I think it was a B. I think that on the positive side, I think it was a step in the right direction. There was one chair and one microphone and one voice. Yep. We've seen we've seen it differently sometimes. I think what Arthur Blank is trying to project is a more streamlined organization. At the same time, I think there's only so much you can, there's only so much you can get from one of these press conferences. 90% of what he said was exactly, what we knew he was going to say. He said in his letter to the fans on Monday, he acknowledged, none of this that we say in the next, week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks makes any difference until we go out and prove it. So, now they've got to go out and prove it. Is this really a different, is the president of football really the final say? Is there really going to be sort of a one desk where the buck stops, or is it just going to devolve back into what it's sort of been of late, which is the quote unquote collaborative approach, which is frustrating for fans who would like for somebody to step up and take responsibility, good or bad, good and bad. Depending on the time.
Josh, I'm curious your reaction to hearing Arthur yesterday talking about how the consulting firm found that the vision for the franchise didn't have enough clarity. Do you have any idea where that breakdown could be coming from?
Yeah, the fact that, not to bang on Rich McKay, but the fact that the fan base has heard for a decade more, Rich McKay is no longer in football. Okay, he's a little bit in football, but now he's not in football anymore, but he's still there, once a week. So, number one, right there. Number two, that the fan base could never get a feel for and got the sense that nobody had a feel for the flow chart in the organization. Who's in charge here? Who is setting the vision? Excuse me. Who is setting the vision and charting the course? Are we just all here to kind of, kumbaya and come up with and have a nice, a fun work environment and everybody enjoy coming to work and feel like you got to contribute and be part of the club? The fact that there was a lack of vision surprises no Falcons fan. I'm surprised it surprised Arthur Blank.
Josh, you made me laugh. since let me ask you this because I want to. He made a very, very, very big point to clarify that it is not the president of football operations, but the president of football. Do you think phrasing it like that makes Matt Ryan a better candidate than if it was phrased he's the president of football operations? Are you following me there?
I do. I follow what you're saying. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe that's part of the thing. It feels very formal. I feel like we're going to have to stand every time this person comes into the room. And they're going to have some sort of scepter. I don't know, but that could be it. I mean, I think that it seems very clear that this position was created for Matt Ryan, and until they walk somebody else out there and say this is the president of football and it's not Matt Ryan, it seems like this was created for him. So I could see them structuring it to be a perfect fit for him. And maybe if you don't call it operations, then his complete lack of experience in any sort of football front office becomes less of a thing. That makes sense.
Josh, I think one of the interesting takeaways yesterday for me, and I tweeted one thing during this whole press conference, and it was about his answer about Jeff Ulbrich. And he, you know, said in no uncertain terms, I would certainly recommend to a new head coach that he would consider retaining Jeff Ulbrich. Curious what your takeaways were from that, if you consider that to be overstepping or to me it felt like common sense, but I know that hasn't been, you know, the overall thought process coming away from that.
It does feel like common sense, and there was some reporting around the league yesterday that the Cowboys requested to talk to Jeff and the Falcons denied it, which is pretty standard in these situations, but at the same time feels a little cruddy. You know, he is under contract. The assistants remain under contract with the Falcons, so the Falcons, you know, have sort of control over them. But if a guy's not sure he's going to get a job with the next staff, and you're not letting him comply, again, this is not a Falcons-specific thing. That's pretty standard across the league. I wish that Arthur Blank, again, just my personal wishes, like they matter, when he was asked about Michael Penix and when he was asked about Jeff Ulbrich, would have said, I'm not going to comment on that. I love Michael Penix. I love Jeff Ulbrich. I'm not commenting on any of that. We're going to have an organizational, you know, structure, and those levels are going to make those decisions. The president of football will have the final say. I think that the Jeff Ulbrich thing, again, makes perfect sense. I understand he feels that way. I just wish he hadn't said it. I certainly think the stuff about Michael Penix would have been best left unsaid.
Josh Kendall joining us here on the morning shift. I actually think that's really well way to put it. It's really hard for me to disagree with you there. I had no issue with it because of the way he said, I will not mandate anything, but I do agree with your point there. Let me, I kind of want to go away from the press conference a little bit, because I kind of want to get your take. You're around the team. You cover the team. I see you every time I'm anywhere, home or away. Where do you think they should go in the coaching search? Are you in the mindset, and Mike and I have talked about this a lot lately, that you go get maybe an offensive mind or a defensive mind that has a play caller that is going to call plays and always have their system in place, or do you go get the John Harbaugh type coach?
NFL hiring, the NFL candidate process is fascinating to me because it is so weird to me. Guys will come up on the radar in 6 months and be the hot guy. I think about Bobby Slowick. Remember when Bobby Slowick was just about to be a head coach?
Yes.
Then he's fired. I mean, it just comes and goes so quick. And then once guys fall out of that rotation, they're gone. Remember when Thomas Brown was, you know, he was in the pipeline, man. Sean McVay had, you know, had blessed him with the Sean McVay holy water. He was, now nobody, you know, he got an interview somewhere this week, but nobody's talking much about Thomas Brown, which might be a mistake. But that's really neither here nor there. If I'm the Falcons, I worry less about offense or defense and more about trying to find a veteran, because it looks to me like Matt Ryan, who is not, you know, is a first-time NFL executive, is going to be the president of football. it makes a ton of sense that somebody like Ian Cunningham, who has some connections with Matt Ryan through Ryan Poles and is very well regarded, is going to be the GM, which would be his first time in that role. So if you've got two newcomers, three rookies feels like a lot of rookies. I think that one person in the room who could say, I saw this, in my second year in Cleveland, if I'm Kevin Stefanski, or if I'm Jim Harbaugh, I saw this in 2011 when we were in Baltimore, and can just provide some context, some veteran context to the room. So that for me is what I'm looking for.
Josh, I know Ian Cunningham's the name that really the only name I think we've kind of heard, although I did feel like it was alluded that the Tillis, I think, and Dissner kind of also interviewed for the president / kind of GM both. That just one
right.
place I saw reported. What do you think? I know that fans are probably going to turn their nose up to this, but do you think the GM's already in the building? Because I've heard a lot of things outside of the organization, around the league, and a little bit in about how talented and how good at he is at his job. It's Kyle Smith, who is the assistant GM right now. Do you think Kyle Smith's got any shot to even get an interview for this job, or is it just we want to go completely about face?
I don't think he does, and I don't think it has anything to do with Kyle Smith. I do think he's very well regarded. I think that he will land somewhere and be just fine, but I do not anticipate him getting an interview just because, I think that Arthur Blank is very aware of trying to start, a clean slate. Clean slate was, kind of starting fresh was clearly important to him. The decision to fire Terry and Raheem clearly was made weeks before the season ended. They were ready to go. They've been planning a restructuring for a while. And I think for them, they would feel like they were going against the whole point of that by retaining somebody.
Josh, before we let you go, one last thing, and this is going to be a point of curiosity, I think, for some time now. You talked about Matt Ryan, talk about the GM, talk about the head coach, what kind of role you want. How much input do you think Matt Ryan will have in the on-field product in terms of, like, this player fits this scheme, this player fits that scheme? Or do you simply think it's Matt, helping put the GM, the head coach, and the vision in place and then kind of allowing them to go to work? I guess, how much overarching theme will you see of Matt Ryan say, this is going to be our vision, these players fit our vision, or do you simply think that he puts those other guys in place and kind of lets them go?
No, I think he's very involved if it's him. I've had a couple of people say to me, this is not going to be an ornamental hire. Don't expect that Matt Ryan is just going to come in here and be a figurehead. Matt Ryan is a competitive dude. I think the only reason that if you're Matt Ryan, take this job and leave a cushy, very well-paid job at CBS that gives you plenty of free time, the only reason you do that is because you are just itching for that day-to-day competitiveness. So I don't think he is going to come in here and, sit, put his feet up on the desk and, pat everybody on the back. I think he will be very much involved. His voice will be very well represented. And I think he'll be the final say. I think that there'll be people in the building who are surprised that Matt Ryan is not their buddy anymore, but Matt Ryan is the boss.
I completely agree with that. Josh, appreciate you hanging out with us this morning, man. That's our good buddy, Josh Kendall from The Athletic. Thanks, bud.
Thank y'all.
Thanks again to you, Josh Kendall, for joining us this morning. Hey, I want to say congratulations to the three of you. Your weekend is 100% yours.
Let's go.
So
I'm not
congratulations.
Terribly excited. Actually, about it. I wish we were busy.
I know. I get that.
I appreciate the sentiment, but
yeah, I do
too. I have a kid now, so nothing's mine anymore.
Well,
somebody bumped into me that day, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry I got in your personal space. I was like, I have a kid. I don't have personal space anymore.
Just flinging. Yeah,
like but you're right.
Like a little Tarzan. And
yeah.
Just a little.
That's right.
Well, this hour's been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. That's going to do it for us, for Mike, Bo, Dylan, and myself, Allie Mack. Thank you for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to...
if you have a cushy job, don't give it up.